me. Hi, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. Bill behind the microphone. Tom on the, he's behind the glass.
On the other side of the glass with the sign that says, do not feed the animals on it.
Do not feed. Yeah. So by my calculations, Mr. Tom Fairbanks, we have had three rain events up at the Buckmaster Bungalow totaling just under 5 inches. I will take that. But it's an odd, I guess every monsoon thunderstorm season is
odd. How much
odd.
Of the runoff from the Catalinas comes through your area or even through your property?
I like to say we're kind of in the banana belt of the valley. Just be where we are there in the lower foothills by Swan and Sunrise, we get a lot of the storm action coming from the east and then over the Catalinas coming down off the rim. So that's kind of what fuels our situation. All right, it's the Buckmaster Show, Thursday, the 18th day of July, 2024. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. And now a little more than halfway through our 14th year on the radio, we are in, as I say, Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, part of the growing presence of Bustos Media here in Tucson, five radio stations under one roof. This is KVOI, The Voice, and we have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we take the piggyback the live feed from KVOI.com. However, I will say we do have a lot more than just the live feed at BuckmasterShow.com. We've got a ton of content going back to January of 2011 when we started our project, the radio project. So it's pretty much all there. Every show we have done over that period. When we do our telephone interviews, of which we will begin with a phone interview today, that's presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line. He is the Democrat representing District Number 1 on the five-member Pima County Board of Supervisors. That supervisorial district is the district I reside in, and my representative on the board is Rex Scott, who joins us now. Supervisor Scott, how are you, sir?
Bill, good morning. Doing really well. Thanks for this monthly opportunity to engage with you and your listeners.
How is your summer going so far, Supervisor?
It is going really well. At the beginning of the summer, at the end of May, my wife and I celebrated our 30th anniversary.
Wow.
And we, we're just rookies compared to you and Ann. So we're swimming in your wake.
Yeah, we had about two more decades on you, but you will get there. You will get there, I'm sure. Did you do anything special to mark the anniversary?
We did. We went up to Colorado and spent some time in the Durango area. We did a lot of great hiking. We took the railroad from Durango to Silverton. We drove up to Telluride and Ouray. We rafted the Animas. So we just had a terrific time.
Yeah, it's a great part of the world. Rex Scott, you are Pima County's representative on the nine-member Regional Transportation Authority Board, which is busy crafting what is called RTA Next. That's the 20-year blueprint for regional transportation, and this is the plan that hopefully will go to the voters, and it has to go to the voters before the other plan sunsets, which is coming up in 2026. How are we doing, in your opinion, on RTA Next? Our listeners heard we had an extensive interview, a half-hour interview yesterday with Mayor Ed Honey of the town of Marana, and Mayor Honey, as the mayor, sits on that nine-member board. And to quote him correctly, he said that he gives this a 50-50 chance of making the ballot. Would you be a little more generous in that assessment?
You know, I have a tremendous amount of regard and respect for Mayor Honey, and I did listen to the recording of his interview with you And he is the only one of the nine of us who was on the RTA board back when RTA 1 was passed. So he certainly knows how to put together a successful plan. And I agree with him that we don't yet know how to move forward together. He's absolutely right in that respect. But we've been there before, and we have found the path forward together several times since we all started working together, this group of nine, back in 2021. I also heard him say in that interview that he needs to be accountable to his constituents and the members of his council, and that he can't go back to them with a plan that doesn't do right by them. I heard exactly the same type of statement from Mayor Romero, the mayor of Tucson, at one of our recent meetings. And I think everybody else on the board would feel that way. I certainly feel that way in terms of my duty to represent the over one third of county residents who live in unincorporated Pima County. Our task really is to put together a plan that everyone in Pima County can support, regardless of where they live. And I feel that we are moving in that direction. That we're not there yet is not entirely surprising, given some of the different perspectives, but I feel we're moving in that direction. I have heard all eight of my colleagues express support for regionalism. And regionalism is more than just collaboration on infrastructure. You're going to have my friend, the mayor of Sabarita, on after me. And Mayor Murphy and I are both members of the Sun Corridor Board, as is Mayor Romero, by the way. Mm-hmm. And we were at a meeting at the Fox Theater that Sun Corridor organized a couple of months ago that featured a panel of site selectors. And site selectors are people who work with business and industry, and they help business and industry to determine where they want to locate, where they want to bring businesses, to bring in new jobs. And what we heard from those site selectors is that we would send a message beyond the borders of Pima County if we were not to come together on a regional transportation plan. It would send the message that we are not a cohesive and collaborative region, and they might just look elsewhere if that's the case. So I really feel, Bill, that the alternative to moving forward with RTA Next is separatism over regionalism, separatism that puts our infrastructure at risk and also our economic growth. And that separatism will also be particularly damaging to the people I represent, the third of our population that live in unincorporated Pima County, because if each jurisdiction decided to go their own way and engage in separatist behavior, the only way for the county, under state law, to put a sales tax to fund transportation need or and other infrastructure needs in the unincorporated county is by a unanimous vote of the Board of Supervisors. So that's what state law calls for, and that's strikingly unlikely to happen. So, the cities and towns, I think, would also be putting their own individual measures at risk because their public may be less willing to support something that's put up just to benefit a city or town if they know that the only reason that's being put forth is because the representatives of that city or town couldn't come together with the rest of the region. So I don't think we have any alternative but to get an RTA Next plan out to the voters. And I feel that all eight of us are committed to that task.
In effect, Rex Scott, it would be the balkanization of transportation in Pima County.
That's a great term. And, you know, I think if people look at the lineage of that term and what it meant in terms of the effects on the Balkan region back during that period before World War One, they would not want to see a similar outcome for Pima County. And I think we're closer than has been reported by the folks who cover our meetings. And again, I think we have a history of coming together in the past when sometimes we've walked into those meeting rooms not knowing how we were going to get to that point of consensus. We found a way to do it. And I'm confident that we're going to do it in this instance because the alternative is strikingly dire, not only for our infrastructure, but for our economic development.
All right. Well, stick around, Rex Scott. We've got another segment with you, but I'm glad that here on the Buckmaster Show, at least we've been able to present kind of the latest on RTA Next, yesterday with Mayor Honey, and today with you, and then coming up, the mayor, Tom Murphy, the mayor of the town of Sahuarita. So that's coming up at 12:30. But right now I want to talk about green things. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, that 13-acre site looking so good. And, you know, they're the owners, Jan and Jack. They care so much about this business. They do. They source the beautiful pottery, and they travel all over the world, really, to find beautiful items for their sister business. They're on site, Zocalo Village. Here are a couple of websites for you. GreenThingsAZ.com has all the information about what's available over there. And there's a ton of garden things available. Zocalo Village, the sister business at ZocaloVillage.com. They're open every day, 53 years of business. We'll be right back. It's Buckmaster on a Thursday. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun, it's all right here.
Quality of Life Research Center has conducted more than 100 clinical trials in Arizona over its 20-year history. Because of their success, participants may have access to a variety of treatments under study that may not be available to people outside the trial. And participants may receive compensation for study-related time and travel. If you think you'd like to participate in a clinical trial, please visit QLMC.com to view our open trials and express interest.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Today's Thursday. That means tomorrow is Friday. And we will be having, of course, our Friday roundtable and our Friday focus interview. And serendipitously, University of Arizona communication professor, Dr. Kate Kensky, she's renowned when it comes to the area of political communication and polling. So there's certainly a lot to talk about in the wake of this week's Republican National Convention. And so much has happened just in the past week. All right. We send a lot of our listeners, and it's a good thing, too, because they want to get away from the heat. They go to Silver City. It's that easy. 85 degrees midday. I'll take that. Nice day over in Grant County, New Mexico. Silver City, elevation 5,500 feet approximately, which translates into beautiful days and can be cool nights. Let's see, down to around 60 degrees for the overnight low. So that's good. Anyway, only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. The website is southwestnewmexico.org for more information. And check that out before you take your approximately three-hour drive over to the southwest corner of the land of enchantment. All right, let's pick up now on our conversation with the District 1 Democrat Supervisor Rex Scott. Rex is one of five members of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. And at this week's meeting, I understand some questions were raised, Rex Scott, about the results of the election 2 years ago. What's that all about?
Well, this was something that came about to a certain extent because of an error on a form that was sent out to our constituents. There were two forms that were sent out. One, a sample ballot, and it had the correct date for the primary election on it. And of course, the primary election is July 30th. But then there was also an accompanying document that had a list of our vote centers, and that had the wrong date. It had August 30th listed, a month after the actual date for the primary. So a series of speakers came to talk to us. This was a planned presentation. Each one had a certain part of their script. And beyond bringing up the issue about the error on the form, which has been rectified by our elections department and corrected information sent out to anybody who got the incorrect form, they also had some concerns they brought out up about what they see as issues dealing with the chain of custody over ballots in the 2022 election. And not only was this a planned presentation, but I think there were some politics associated with it. Now, those concerns will be responded to at the next board meeting. Because even if there were political considerations that motivated this, these are still our constituents, and their concerns will there be responded to. But there was an email that went out the weekend before our meeting from the Pima County Republican Party encouraging people to come to the Board of Supervisors meeting on Tuesday to support these speakers as they made their concerns known. The last speaker in the chain of speakers was the chair of the Pima County Republican Party. A lot of the speakers, including the chair, have a history of calling into question election results, being critical of our change from precincts to vote centers. Some of them are critical of mail-in voting, even though over 80% of voters across Arizona prefer to vote by mail. One of them called on Supervisor Christie, the one Republican supervisor, to advocate for their causes. He did so promptly. But what I think is important to point out, Bill, is that the results of the 2022 election in Pima County were, there is no reason to question them. Our elections are conducted fairly, safely, and accurately. And in Arizona, it is the role of counties to administer elections. And, you know, we have division of responsibilities between the recorder's office and the elections division. The recorder's office is responsible for mailing out early ballots, verifying signatures. They're responsible for early voting. The elections division is responsible for same-day voting and the tabulation of all ballots, whether they come in by mail or whether or not, or whether they are cast early or on election day. And, you know, there has just been, for pretty much since 2020, a concerted, prolonged strategy to raise doubts about our elections, not just in Pima County, but throughout the state, throughout the country. The Arizona State Senate audit, if we're going to call it that, of only two races in Maricopa County, by the way, the presidential and the senatorial election in 2020 is an example of this questioning of our elections. But I serve with 14 other supervisors, one from each of the other counties, on the Legislative Policy Committee of the County Supervisors Association. We're very evenly divided between Republicans and Democrats on that committee. And we have unanimously opposed any of the bills that election deniers try to bring through the legislature to question the fairness, safety, and accuracy of our elections. So we're going to respond to these concerns that came up. But I think it's important for people to know that there was definitely a lot of politics beyond the presentation that the board heard on Tuesday.
Only got about 4 minutes left, but people have heard of this Mosaic quarter development. I mean, folks heard about it probably through the media when former Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek actually resigned. Been on the council a long time, but he resigned to go be involved with that project. Simply put, Rex Scott, what is the project, and what did the board take some kind of a vote on it this week?
So Mosaic Quarter is a public-private partnership. This is a development that is occurring on county-owned land adjacent to the Keno Sports Complex. But the actual construction of the facilities that make up the Mosaic Quarter development are being handled by a private company. And what it's going to result in, Bill, is a series of athletic facilities. And the first two that are going to be built are going to be an iceplex with three sheets of ice. It will ultimately be the home of the University of Arizona Ice Cats and will also be used by a lot of local leagues. I had no idea how many Pima County residents and their kids play hockey until and are tired of driving up to Maricopa County until we started talking about this. And then there will be a field house, which will be able to host wrestling, basketball, judo, gymnastics, you name it. And what the board did was we approved the leases back in March, but then there were negotiations between the county's representatives and the developer since then. And so what the board did on Tuesday was approve the financing arrangements that were negotiated between the county and the developer. And it was important that we approach those negotiations carefully and prudently because The county has an excellent credit rating, excellent bond rating, and we didn't want anything associated with this fantastic project to have any impact on our financial standing.
Before we say goodbye, how large a footprint is this? How many acres? Do you have any idea?
You know, I don't remember the exact acreage count. And what we're talking about with phase one is the iceplex, the field house, and the physical plant.
Okay.
But ultimately, there will be other facilities, and there will also be restaurant, retail, and lodging space. And we expect phase one to be open in the late spring of 2027.
Just a real quick comment on the big storm. A lot of that was county, I don't know, that storm on Sunday. There's been the county road work. Road people have been very busy this week.
They the county is responsible for over 2,200 miles of roadway. And when there's a storm event like there was on Sunday, those crews are extraordinarily busy, and they're also working in concert with the other local utilities, especially TEP, to address storm damage and get people back where they were before the storm.
All right. Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott, thank you very much. Hope you have a great afternoon.
All right, Bill. Thank you very much. You take good care.
Thank you very much. All right. We'll take a break right here, midway point of our Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show. The mayor of Sahorita comes up next.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
It's time for the CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Sun Corridor, Inc. a transformative economic development organization representing one of the most dynamic and growing major business centers in North America. Sun Corridor Inc. is a CEO-driven regional alliance whose members aggressively champion mega-regional issues that impact economic competitiveness and quality of life. The organization has helped to drive significant business investment into the Tucson and Southern Arizona region through primary job creation, resulting in an economic impact of $36 billion, with more than 200 company locates and expansions supporting 57,000 jobs. For more information, visit suncorridorinc.com.
And joining us in studio for this month's interview of our Sun Corridor CEO interview series, Tom Murphy is with us, the mayor of the town of Sahuarita. Mayor Murphy was elected to the town council in 2013. He and his family moved to Sahuarita in 2003 as their, what they have said, is their final stop, culminating 42 years of combined military service for him and his wife, Lynn. Mayor, great to see you.
Great to see you as well. And, you know, I'm usually on with Dan Shearer.
Yeah.
And you're much better looking than Dan Shearer.
Well, thank
I just
you
want
very
that
much.
On the record.
It's great to see you again. Let's begin with, before we get into the RTA, I want to talk a little bit about your town and the 30-year, really, celebration. It's interesting because I think Mayor Winfield was saying Oral Valley's celebrating their half century, their 50-year anniversary. So you guys are looking at 30 years. How does that feel?
Well, it really, I in one word, blessed, and it's a blessing. 30 years is my 20 years living in the town of the 30 is
so
the longest.
Two-thirds.
Yeah. So, you know, when I moved here, my wife was still active duty. I was retired Air Force, and I was a stay-at-home dad. And so the filter that I look through on moving to Sahuarita in 2003, and we just had a few thousand people, and now we hit 38,000. So it's been a interesting ride. In 1994, in so many ways, was a really good year. My daughter Kiara was born in 94. When we have our State of the Town in September, I have to celebrate, I guess, Supervisor Scott's anniversary. He's up in 30 years.
Yeah.
U of A Tech Park
yes.
is celebrating their 30th year. And I just met with the Beth Shalom Temple down in Green Valley, just over our line, and they're celebrating their 30th year.
Wow.
So I guess 1994 was a good year in
Very
so many ways.
Year. So the town grew out of a planned unit development.
Yes, it was really a lot of the, about half our town's population lives in the master plan community.
Master plan,
of
those
are
the words
Sarita.
I was looking for, yes, master
and
plan.
It was the last parcel, actually, that was picked up out of the Keating 5 scandal. I don't know if you remember that years and years ago.
It. Yeah.
So
back
the developer,
in the day. Wow.
Bob Sharp, was the purchaser of that. I know he was told that no one's going to drive that far south of Tucson and really created, helped form the incorporation effort. We're the fifth youngest town in in the state of Arizona. And it's been a interesting ride. We've grown residentially 1,900%, you know, from 1994. We were formed with 1,800 residents and we're sitting again at 38,000. So, you know, we're off chasing our big brothers of Marana and Oro Valley that are ahead of us from a year standpoint, but it's been a blessing. So I've gone from that filter of a dad with a second and third grader at the time to now where we are as an elected official, trying to keep in place this great community feel that was the reason that myself and my wife, you know, decided to move there. So it's been an interesting journey from a kind of a stay-at-home dad to mayor, but still wanting to incorporate and initiate the same things, even as we grow from that home, that small hometown feel, which has, I think, served us really well.
Your demographic, talk a little bit about that, and then the footprint, how you have expanded acreage-wise. How big a footprint do you have?
Yes, we're about 30 square miles, and I heard Mayor Honey yesterday, I think he's about 120 square miles.
Yeah, and growing.
And growing. Mm-hmm. Now, the difference for us is we're hemmed in by the nation, the Tohono Nation to the north, the mines to the west, and Green Valley to the south. So really, our only growth expansion opportunity is to the east. We call it our CCAP, Sahuarita East Aerial Conceptual Plan. So there's a lot of state land that we're working on unincorporated Pima County that we'd like to bring in to our boundaries to help that growth, because we're a pro-growth community. But as Mayor Honey said yesterday, infrastructure is always the key point to help that grow, because at some point we have a Stonehouse and Quail Creek, a Robeson community, Madeira Highlands. We have a lot of master plan communities that make up our residential. And once those are built out, and we're probably halfway to two-thirds of the way of build out, unless we can expand that footprint, we will not be in a growth mode. And in Arizona, the way we're funded with state shared revenue and local sales tax, I feel if you're not growing, you know, you're not going to be stagnant. You're going to be going in the other direction. So we're always looking at that growth model, but also retaining that sense of identity. We're always named as one of the safest communities in Arizona, thanks to our wonderful Sahuarita Police Department and our residents. We have a lot of first responders, a lot of Border Patrol agents, a lot of military. When you were talking about demographic, our average age is 37. We have a high economic demographic with a lot of dual working families. But because of that, Raytheon workers, Border Patrol base.
Yeah, because you're close to Raytheon.
We are.
The commute to Raytheon's much better than for those like us living in the foothills.
Absolutely. and that's why, you know, from a even being regional and working with the county, when the American Battery Factory came in, for instance, I was probably almost as excited about where they landed, because it was a big footprint they needed, and we didn't have a huge footprint like the county did. But my feeling is most of those workers are going to drive just a few miles south and end up living in Sahuarita, so in shopping. So I was really as excited about those types of footprints, because it's south of the airport, which is even closer to us than even, you know, about the same distance as Raytheon. So we have a very strong demographic because of the workforce that they're associated with, which leads to people wanting to live and spend, hopefully, in our town.
So the master plan, the community very much foundations with master plan communities. What is the responsibility of the master plan community, and then what is the responsibility of city services?
Yeah, and it's been really
kind of a basic question.
Well, that's okay. Yeah. It's a you know, it's a very collaborative effort, honestly, because of these wonderful master plan communities. The one that I live in, Rancho Sahuarita, was a Reader's Choice Award last year for the best master plan community to live in. So we've been blessed and lucky because they provide some of the amenities for their communities. Quail Creek and Madeira would be other examples.
Recreation,
swimming pools, those types of things. But as a mayor or as a council member and the team effort that we work on, we have to meet the needs of all of our community, and not all of our community has access to these facilities. And that's where I think the town obviously steps in and helps provide those. So that's the creative balance that we have to work on to make sure everybody has access to great infrastructure and facilities.
And then you had something called Prop 403. What was that?
Yes, that's coming up this November.
Okay.
It's a proposition to float a $66 million GEO bond back to infrastructure. It's made up of seven projects, four in park and rec, and three in more of the workforce infrastructure. So we're going to have hopefully a rec center, back to having those amenities. The expansion of our original park, Animex Park, improvements there, some sports court facilities on the north end, also expansion of our police department, looking at repurposing our town hall. We just went to 4-10s Monday through Thursday from 7 to 6 p.m.
How's that work?
It's been working well. We haven't heard of any drop-off of services to our community.
So they're off Fridays?
They're off Fridays. But we have extended hours because we offer free notary, for instance, in the town clerk's office. So when normally people are at work or going to work, you can come in a little earlier, get notary services, or come in after work. So we did a survey. It was a pilot that just ended, a year of pilot. And it was, you know, not 100% of the workers said, yeah, you know, thumbs up, but we were probably pushing in the 80, 90%. So we decided to go with that. And, but again, as you're a growing community, rapidly growing, our police department is out of space. So part of that bond is to help expand those facilities. And then we're going to put $10 million of reserve funding to it. So it'll be a $76 million project. And it'll tax the average homeowner about $17 a month, about $200 a year, which in today's environment, unfortunately, is about one tank of gas.
Yeah.
Kidding. But it's, you know, and really it's the choice for the voters, because it's up to the voters to decide. But to me, my analogy is you can save up for your house and pay cash, or you can take a mortgage, which this would be the equivalent of, and actually get to enjoy these facilities as you're paying for them. Because the other way, you'd be saving up for them and wouldn't have the ability to enjoy them. And also, obviously, with inflation on the skyrocketing cost, the cost of doing it today is certainly going to be much less than 20, 25 years down the road.
All right. We're talking with the mayor of Sahuarita. We'll talk more with Tom Murphy. We're going to talk with him about the RTA because he is on that 9-member RTA board as they work to try to craft the RTA next. The 9-member board has representatives of all the mayors and the Indian Nation and General Maxwell, who represents the Arizona Department of Transportation. So we'll take a quick break, then we'll hear what the mayor's take on how we're doing with RTA next, right after this.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Pima Association of Governments, the Greater Tucson Region's metropolitan planning organization, is developing a new long-range transportation plan for the next 30 years. Shape your transportation future and tell us your transportation project and funding priorities. Take the survey at pagregion.com/2055. That's pagregion.com/2055. Nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Quality of Life Medical Center has served Tucson residents for more than 20 years. We understand the key to a long, healthy life is not just about getting the right medical treatment, but it's also about feeling good mentally and emotionally. Whether you're looking for preventative care or treatment for a specific condition, we're here for you. And we are accepting new patients for primary care, pain management, and sexual health. Please visit QLMC.com to request an appointment. Quality of Life. Our name says it all.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This is our monthly CEO interview series presented by Sun Corridor, Inc. Mayor Tom Murphy, the mayor of the town of Sahuarita, is with me in studio, and we're talking about the growth of Sahuarita. And one of the things that Rex Scott talked about in his interview at the beginning of the program, Mayor, was that forum that Sun Corridor, Inc. Sponsored about What site selectors? These are people who look at Tucson as a potential area for growth or moving a business here. One of the things that they're very important to them is a regional transportation structure.
Right. And really regionalism in general, mm-hmm. And how well everyone works together. And it reminds me back many years ago when we lost the Raytheon expansion to Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
And part of the feedback on it was that everybody was singing off the same sheet of music from the governor all the way down to the local officials. And that impressed Raytheon and the folks that they worked with. They had a level of confidence that they could invest there and it would pay off. And that's when the road was realigned, you know, to help, which obviously allowed the American Battery Factory to potentially to come in. But really regionalism and the investment into infrastructure, and that's something that we're all on the board, you know, concerned with, because you really can't count on any level of commitment from the federal on an ongoing basis. Working with General Maxwell and their five-year plan, there's not a lot of money that we can expect to come from the state, and the RTA half-cent sales tax generates about $100 million a year, which is more than the other two entities, the state and the feds, put together. So I think part of it is sometimes it's a difficult communication message to our residents that this little, and I would say little, you know, half cent on all the goods and services, goods purchased, really are being invested within our infrastructure, because we're a rapidly growing community. Marana, you know, Oro Valley, or the whole area is exploding. And if you're not keeping up with regional transportation expansion, that I think it makes it difficult. Some of the rub is, as Supervisor Scott said, we all have our different needs within our areas. And quite frankly, the city really is focusing more on transit, and to a very high percentage, as Mayor Honey mentioned yesterday, and a very small percentage of our county, our whole county residents, actually use transit. Mm-hmm. So it's that balance of what is passable, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what Tom Murphy wants or Bill Buckmaster wants on this plan. It's mm-hmm. all of the residents on what they're willing to vote for and commit to, and they have to see some benefit. So whether it's Green Valley, Three Points, Aravaca from a county's perspective, Corona, Vale, or Sahuarita or our incorporated communities, going on road diets and those types of things aren't what I think people are looking for when they're driving up to Raytheon mm-hmm. or driving up into mm-hmm. the city to work at the U of A or for students. And we are going to continue to grow. And if we don't have a worthwhile investment in expansion in balance, I get that, between transportation and transit, I don't know if it will pass, because mm-hmm. I think having unanimity is very helpful and important, especially because most votes are very close anyways. It did pass 60-40 last time, and I think what we've delivered over these past 18 years has been very impactful. And if you subtracted everything that was funded by RTA over these last 18 years, our transportation infrastructure would not look like it is today.
Mm-hmm. Would you agree then with the mayor that there's about a 50-50 chance this will not even make it to the ballot?
Well, I think, yes, I mm-hmm. would agree. And I never disagree with my seniors to me. And as you heard, he was the only mayor that's still actually with this current RTA. Mm-hmm. So he's a wealth of knowledge, obviously.
The clock is running on this, and you really have to decide when it would go to the voters.
Absolutely. And really, the plan we're trying to work on right now is really just the first step.
Mm-hmm.
I think there were over 200 meetings last time.
And you would need those kind of meetings.
And you would
meetings,
need those
certainly.
Because, you know, I know we're discussing and arguing a little of what should be in there. But it's going to be a whole nother level of conversation
right.
once it comes back and it's mm. gone out to all these communities and mm. you hear feedback from these various residents. So I just want to get it out to at least to see what the voters are thinking about it and what they're willing to invest in. And then we're going to have more conversations. But you're correct, Bill. The clock is ticking. It sunsets in 2026. And if you take $100 million off the table over the next X years, it will not be good for our region, and we will not look regional to these site selectors when they end up looking at putting these major investments and companies into our town.
How about what projects do you have, development projects? You've got a growing community, and they want to have services. They want businesses that right now, maybe they're driving up to Tucson. They want businesses right in their backyard.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that was what we learned out of the Great Recession, that we were really successfully residential heavy.
Mm-hmm.
But we identified about 70% tax leakage out of our town.
Mm-hmm.
So we really went to more of a three-legged stool, residential, retail, commercial, and workforce. And we're continuing to work on that. We only have one hotel actually in our town boundaries. The other couple are in Green Valley, which doesn't bring revenue to our town.
No.
Restaurants and shopping, you know, if I could bring a Trader Joe's or a Costco or mm-hmm. various other restaurants, Chick-fil-A, we did a survey that they were the number one requested restaurant. We have a grow and sell arena program, but also we embrace what we already have as a sector. We have the Raytheon defense sector. We have the mining sector
mm-hmm.
with Freeport, McMoRan, which has been a super partner to us, ASARCO. And hopefully if Copper World, I'm very supportive of the copper industry. If they move forward, you know, we're gonna benefit both on a residential, but from a workforce development. We have a couple of power photonics as a laser optics that had to have a U.S. presence from Scotland,
mm-hmm.
and they picked Sahuarita
wow.
out of the whole nation because of mm-hmm. the U of A, I think, and also the mining defense sector that's here, as well as Hydronautics, a U of A grad, Tony Mulligan, just a genius, and he develops these automated, autonomous water and now drone air vehicles,
mm-hmm.
Not only for weather, for rescue, for the military presence. And that just shows that high-tech area that, again, with defense and mining, we really think we are well-placed. And, of course, we're on the I-19 corridor. We have over $2 billion coming up from Mexico every year. So we think we're in a good position in place. But, again, we're a young town, and these are the things that we're working on each and every day.
You'd like another restaurant or two, huh?
Yes, we would. Yes, we would. But of course, you know, mm-hmm. the cost of rent, workers
sure.
are a challenge.
Oh, yeah.
We just had Goyitas, a Mexican restaurant out of Oro Valley,
uh-huh.
Where their second location. They just
good.
Opened up. So, but, you know, the residents like to, well, it's funny because they want to have all these services, but they don't want to have cars on the road at the same time back to regional transportation.
There you go.
So you got to expand both of those simultaneously.
All right, Mayor Murphy from Sahuarita, thank you very much.
It's always a pleasure to be here, Bill.
And for more information about Sun Corridor, please visit suncorridorinc.com. That's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of the mayor and for Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass, Bill Buckmaster wishing everyone well.